So all of this is happening within the context of billions of dollars being spent. And there was a recent report from SIGAR, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan, for Afghan reconstruction, essentially John Sipko. Billions of dollars were spent and only several hundred millions of dollars of buildings out of all of that money being spent over the past 20 years. There's only hundreds of millions of dollars that actually went to creating some type of stable infrastructure. And so amidst all of this, taxpayer waste, et cetera, we can see that not much has been done necessarily to counter and actually implement an effective coalition within the region over time in order to be able to effectively counter the growing terrorist threats and the ever evolving and morphing terrorist threats in the region, as you just mentioned. So most definitely any type of withdrawal will essentially emphasize the current power dynamics. There have been definite ties between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, for instance. And this terrorist threat will most definitely be emboldened. Of course, it has yet to be seen whether the country itself will devolve into another civil war, but whatever the future of this civil war itself, there will most definitely be an increase in the terrorist threat in Afghanistan.
Can you assess the Taliban's terrorist capabilities at this point?
Well, their economic power has changed in the last few years. So they are more self-sufficient than they were. And in terms of capabilities as well, their political control has been consolidated because of the fact that Al-Qaeda, for example, has been brought under the umbrella of the Taliban through marriages, through political alliances, through very specific cultural ties. So it's going to be very hard to disentangle all of those. In terms of the dominance of the Taliban, will only magnify in the wake of a pullout. That's not necessarily meaning that there has to be a specific military solution. What that does mean, however, is that there has to be more of a diplomatic push and in order to consolidate tie counterpoints to the political legitimacy and the political power that the Taliban has. And that really is going. That's why working with women and empowering women and working with civil society is so important. But that's why Afghanistan is also, for a long time, has been known for the graveyard of empires. Not that there hasn't been any empires within the country itself, but because it is so complicated, it has been a proxy war for centuries, essentially, and it is such a dynamic, pivotal point geopolitically that it's an incredibly complex situation. And to think that it'll be solely resolved through the military is, in my opinion, naive.
I have read The Kite Runner, and I have spent some time there and read many other books about Afghanistan and its history. This is the place where people have gone with high ideals about making changes, and none of it in Russia or Britain or the U.S. worked. Do you think this will ever change? Do you think Afghanistan will ever rise out of the place that it's in? It's still got very serious problems with infrastructure. It's got serious corruption problems. It's got a lot of other issues, safety, security, health. Part of the reason for that is, I guess, the power structure.
Right. And also there are so many competing interests. It's a tribal country. And I think there is a donor knows best mentality with a lot of these initiatives, especially on the part of the US. I can't speak to other countries specifically. Whereas they don't necessarily take into account the complexity of the tribal affiliations of the different landscapes. I mean, it's a relatively small country compared to America, but it's very much a heterogeneous society in terms of the different affiliations and competing power interests.
Dr. Sara Kamali, a holistic justice activist and the author of Homegrown Hate, J.J. Green, WTOP News.